Feels a little bit like an old school Jungle Day, doesn't it? We are all over the place. What a great day. I was just listening to my man Rich Ackerman's sports update. He had sound from our John Cooper interview. So we talked some Lightning hockey. We had Coach K on his birthday, Mike Krzyzewski. Bob Myers hasn't even joined us yet. And a lot of content. Lots of content. This program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Pauly T. Wall hit me up on Twitter. Quote, I'm forever amazed by A-Rod. Nearly 700 career jacks. Amazing. Signed, Reese McGuire. Romy. I think A-Bag's clubs were totally badass. Regards, the dude wearing white sunglasses and a white belt with a rented set of sticks. Geoff and Lincoln. Wore A-Bag smuggling a sixer of hard seltzer on the course. Hey, Rome. A-Rod's bag of seven makes and models? That sounds like the status quo to us. Regards, Utah husbands. Mitch from Buffalo. Polygamy. Still not a thing. I don't know how things on the show that aren't things become things when you're not getting it from me. All right, maybe we could do better on the phones because we're not doing very well on email or Twitter right now. Maybe we could do better on the phones. Bob Myers will join me at 40 past. So that's the last segment of this show. I can tell you this. Next week, I will announce the return of a tour stop. There will be a show. There will be a tour stop. It will not be like the original tour stop, but there will be a tour stop. I will have the announcement next week. Be listening. We have selected the market. We have selected the venue. We have selected the date. It's going to be different. Well, and by the way, it's going to cost you money this time. There is that. But if I'm going to charge you, then best know I will have something for you. So we will have the announcement next week. I want to manage your expectations, all right? It's just not going to be like it was back in the day where I'd show up to an arena and there'd be 17,000 people there and it would be free. We're not doing it like that. If I'm going to bring it back, I have to bring it back differently. So we'll bring it back differently. But there will be a tour stop. Any guesses what market that's going to be in? I'll have the announcement next week. All right, I said that I would go to the phones. So what do you say we go to the phones? Look who I found. Jeff. In Southfield. Jeff, what's going on?
Thanks for the van, Jim. Jim, if I were a bold enough and insecure enough man to be wearing a hat, I would take that hat off to John in New York. I'm extremely grateful to John and his family for taking my call with such good humor, Jim, and it got me thinking about this John in New York character. Jim, before John, I believed it was an unbreakable law of physics that the thicker one's New York accent is, the bigger an a-hole they are. So not only is John the nicest guy out there, he's a walking, breathing miracle. Okay, maybe that's taking it too far, but I'm not taking it too far when I say John in New York is the best guy in the jungle, Jim. They say Henry Winkler is the best guy in Hollywood. Well, then John in New York is the jungle's Henry Winkler. Jim, because I think so highly of John, I'm going to set down my normal policy of never doing tandem calls one time because I want the only tandem call of my jungle career to be with jungle legend and jungle Hall of Famer, John in New York. And I've got him on the other line, Jim, so let's do that right now. Without further ado, here he is, my man, John in New York. Take it away, John.
Thank you, Jeff, for having me in your call. Jim, I went to the internet, Jim, and your podcasts are awesome. That one with hockey legend Haimo Salami. That was like the bestest interview I ever heard, Jim. Good news, Jim. I've already bought my tickets to Jake's commencement, Jim. And I have my clothes and shoes already set out for the big day. And don't worry, Jim. I already have an escape plan for the Rome family if there's any terrorist activity, Jim. I got your back, Jim. Speaking of Wisconsin, Jim, that Kylan Green Bay guy, he thinks he's the good friend, Jim, because he's got that life-size cardboard cutout of you, Jim. But I showed him who the goodest friend is, Jim. I made a life-size papier-mâché version of you, Jim. He sits next to me in my truck when I drive. I hooked him up with a suit from David August, and I fashioned a goatee from Hawk's mustache. I had to punish Hawk, Jim, because he showed up to the Hall of Fame dressed like it was a Tears for Fears concert, Jim. Once again, I got your back, Jim. Thank you for being my friend, Jim. Thank you. Thank you.
Jeff, that is so wrong. That is all wrong. You mispronounced the word tailwist. This guy, man. Jeff in Southfield. 1-800-636-8686 is your telephone number. Jeff obviously has that number in his phone. Dude, get off that guy. Like, that's... I don't want to say that's low-hanging fruit because John's my guy. I like John. Can I tell you something? I like John a lot more than I like most of you. I'm not playing favorites. But what do you get out of that, Jeff? Don't be a bully, man. It's not cool. That's not funny. That's not fun. There's no sport in that. Come on, man. You're better than that, dude. You made one of the best, if not the single best, debut phone call in the history of this program. You are so much better than that, dude. You have to do better than that. I'm even fine with that being your brand. But get off this guy. That's not fun, man. That's not funny. There's no sport in that. Do better, Jeff. You are better. Does he have a golden ticket right now? Ah, you can keep it if you do. Anybody else? 1-800-636-8686.
The Emu Salami.
Tell me again how he pronounced Temu Salami.
The Emu Salami.
Saimu Salami?
The Emu Salami.
I went to Saimu Salami's restaurant recently in Laguna Beach. It was good. Had a good time. That's not how you pronounce his name, and you know that, Jeff. John in New York knows that too, Jeff. Come on, man. A wild day. Like I said, lots of content, lots of show. Did a podcast with Kyle Long yesterday. First time he'd been on the pod. He crushed it. That was fun. We talked about A-Bag's bag. We talked about the Astros. We had Coach K on. We had John Cooper on. I'm still going to have Bob Myers on. And I'm still looking for your telephone calls. And I do want to talk about the Lakers. Without looking at the standings, who is the number one seed in the West? Quick, go. The Lakers. Without looking at the standings, who is the number two team in the West? Go. The Nuggets. So wouldn't stand a reason that LA going into Denver last night was going to be an enormous game. And it was. Number one seed against number two seed in Denver right before the All-Star break. That's about as big as it gets for the association in February. The Nuggets had already lost to the Lakers in their house. So you knew that Denver was looking to make a big statement last night. You did not have to tell the Lakers that. You did not have to tell the legend himself, Alex Caruso, that.
Yeah, I could tell they were locked in pregame. Brown had his jersey on with like 80 minutes to go before the game.
So he could tell how locked in Denver was, but even before that, he could tell how locked in his teammates were. Because LeBron was suited up 80 minutes early or 80 minutes prior. That's not like him. So a lot of teams might coast into the All-Star break. It's tempting. You got a nice lead in the West. You've already beaten them in their building. You got nothing to prove. It'd be tempting to kind of coast in. And the Lakers did not do that. Going into Denver, they beat the Nuggets 120 to 116 in OT after being down 13 earlier in the game. LeBron knew what time it was.
I'm just trying to be as laser sharp as I could, laser focus. You know, understanding that, you know, I know the break was coming, but I don't want to take this opportunity for granted. I wanted to, you know, play extremely well tonight for our ball club. I wanted us to play extremely well going into the break on a high note. And, you know, our team, we responded very well.
Yeah, I digress for 1 minute. Jeff and Southfield, do not call the program and say, Jim, LeBron played really well. He backed it up. He had 32 points. He had 14 assists. He had 12 rebounds. His 12th triple-double of the season. Again, Denver was up big in the second quarter. It looked like they were on the verge of running LA out of the building. That is, until Monte Morris hit a three to give the Nuggets that 13-point lead, and he could not help himself, and he started to yap at LeBron.
Hits the three, and we go to timeout. He says something to James. LeBron actually stopped and then started walking back towards.
Never a good idea. Never a good idea. Because then the Lakers went on a 25-8 run to close out the half. And it would have been easy to point to that as a turning point, because if the Nuggets did not already have LeBron's attention, they did after Morris started running his mouth to LeBron. Because LeBron started doing things like this in the third quarter.
It was right in front of the Lakers fans, and they were absorbing it. Oh, LeBron! One hand with authority. It forces a quick. Is it a timeout?
No, delay of game by the
Lakers.
Oh, delay
of game.
Too many players jumping out on the court off the bench as LeBron went to the middle. And, I mean, emphatic throwdown. I mean, that was one with a real sense of purpose.
It's because Morris got his attention, didn't he? He did throw that down with authority. And it bears repeating, the fact that LeBron is playing at this level, with this intensity, with this type of athleticism, and even explosiveness, at this point in his career is just stupid. It's incredible. But last night was not just about Morris popping off to LeBron and paying the price. It was also about AD going for 10 rebounds and 33 points, including 7 in OT. But if you want to talk box scores and numbers, let me hit you with some more. Dwight Howard, 14 and 11. How about this? Alex Caruso, 10 points, 6 boards, 4 assists, and a plus 23 in 22 minutes. And yes, I know that the plus minus stat is flawed. It is. It just is. You know how I know that? Because it does not do Caruso justice. He was a force last night, but don't take my word for it. Ask somebody who would know. Longtime Lakers broadcaster Stu Lance.
Who else? Dwight Howard. Count it.
An opportunity with a minute and 38 and the Lakers up by 5.
Stu, go back again. What'd you say? The
I
game
thought it
changed
was,
when?
Caruso came in.
That's right.
And things changed.
When did the game change, Stu? When Caruso came in. Of course. And don't even think about coming up in here and saying that Caruso's numbers were inflated because he was doing it against the second unit. He wasn't. Who was on the floor to set a crucial screen in overtime to free up Anthony Davis? You know the answer. Alex freaking Caruso.
Jeremy Grant on LeBron with 5 to shoot. LeBron drives inside, got it to Davis. 3-pointer by AD. Good again! Anthony Davis with 2 overtime threes. Put the Lakers up 119-116.
John freaking Ireland talking about Alex freaking Caruso. Yeah, and who was on the floor in the final 30 seconds of OT? Who was making the critical closeout to shut down a potential game-tying three? Alex F. Caruso. Roll it.
All right, here we go. Gary Harris brings it in to Jamal Murray. He'd be the one to shoot it.
Yeah, he needs to look for it.
Back to Jokic. 3-pointer, no. He dribbles around Caruso and stolen by KCP. That may ice the game. LeBron gets it into the front court. No, he gives it to AD. AD dribbling and they foul him.
The Caruso show is still the best show in late night. But he's not just about the highlight plays. He's not only about the putback dunks or the monster drives through the lane to humiliate the opposition. Like all the greats, he focuses on the little things too. Alex Caruso is not just an energy guy. He's a difference maker. You want instant offense? He will give it to you. You want awesome defense? He will give you that too. What I'm saying is, since Damian Lillard is unable to play in the All-Star game this weekend, the league had a chance to right a wrong by putting Caruso on a plane to Chicago. Should have done it. Let the world see this young king. Frank Vogel knows what he has in this young king. If you're not watching on TV and you can only hear the audio, trust me, Vogel is smiling when he answers this question. In fact, you can hear the smile in his answer because Vogel knows what's up.
You know, right now he's my secret weapon. You know, I break him out when I need him. You know, he's certainly earned a rotational spot and he's in the rotation. And, you know, like I said, like when we need him to, you know, to grow into a bigger role, he delivers.
My only disagreement with that is the word secret in front of weapon. Lethal weapon. Sure. Secret weapon? Nah. He's a flat-out weapon. If anyone in this league still thinks that AC Fresh is a secret, that's on them, not him. Jared Dudley knows. He tweeted, quote, "Shout out Dwight Howard and the GOAT, Alex Caruso, for staying ready. They both changed the game tonight. If I told you we would be 41-12, first in the West at the All-Star break, you would say we right where we need to be. Hashtag Lake Show." LeBron retweeted that with facts. Them boys were amazing. LeBron's right. Them boys were amazing. And that team's chemistry is amazing. They battle for each other. Just ask the GOAT. Caruso, quote, "There's never been egos on this team. I mean, you could see it in the videos and pictures. That's not fake chemistry. It's not phony. We're not just doing it because there's a camera in front of us. We genuinely enjoy hanging out with each other, cracking jokes, and then playing basketball," end quote. Huge win for the Lakes. They go into the break. They're 5 games up now in the loss column. They've got a 2-1 season series lead over the Nuggets. Both wins coming in Denver. They're feeling it. Avery Bradley said, quote, "I think in a way, they're already defeated, seeing that we already beat them twice on their own court," end quote. Have some. Some nice spicy talk for mid-February. He's not wrong either. Like, I don't know if Denver is defeated by that, but you know the Lakers are going to have an awful lot of confidence if they have to face the Nuggets in the postseason. Then again, they've got an awful lot of confidence anytime they step on the court because they know Alex Caruso is going to be there. I do it every single day, but for the rest of you, give this guy some bleeping credit. I mean, for real.
I give them some credit. I mean, for real.
What does Caruso have to do to get some respect outside that locker room and outside this studio? Give this guy some bleeping credit. I mean, for real. Bob Myers coming up at 40 past. I mean, for real. When we come back, look at the phone lines. I think all of a sudden now it's a Christmas tree hawk. What's up? All 13 lines are ringing right now. All right, we'll see. Jeff in Southfield, I mean what I say. Do better, be better, and get off John in New York. It's too easy, right? It's not fun.
I need a life-size papier-mâché version of you, Jim.
He did not. John did not make a life-size papier-mâché version of me, Jim. He did not. I know he didn't. Don't go anywhere. We will come right back.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
People. Damn, Alvy. I am now. Bob Myers coming up in about 15 minutes. You want to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service from professional parts people you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Let's get some phone calls in quickly. Virginia.
No. You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
Boy, Alvin, you kind of panicked, but that's all right. It probably was not going to get any better. Alvin's like hovering over that button. Like I said, I used the analogy the other day, like no whammies, no whammies. Stop! Well, Jim, Reese wanted to show you. Stop! You got him, Alvin. Way to go, Alvin. All right, anyway, let's try it again. I thought we were going to have a good phone call day when I said we had 13 phone calls all lined up. Let's try Dear City, Michigan. Ray. Nice to have you. Ray, how are you?
How are you doing, Jim? It's not Ray, it's Lee, but that's all right.
That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
All right, guys. Alvin, I think I know the answer, but we had his name wrong. So why did we run him? And I think I know what you're going to say, but what do you have to say for yourself? Wow. Hey, Hawk, why don't you put on your headphones so you and I can have a little chat? Adam, the hell is going on the other side of the glass? I can't do both at once. I can't both host the show and screen the calls and run the board. The hell is going on the other side of the glass, Adam?
Alvin and I are not on the same page right now. That's our fault, obviously.
At all.
That, what happened to Lee in Deer City is my fault. I heard Ray. I put him in as Ray.
I could see where you would. That sounds exactly the same, Lee and Ray.
It's not that easy to hear. There's a lot of stuff going on. I gave him the wrong one-syllable name. He should not have been hammered for that. That's on me. He had a good phone call, too. So I'm upset about that. Also, the guy that called right before had a punchline that I desperately wanted to hear about Reese McGuire wanting to show you his you-know-what and his you-know-what. And so I'm a little disappointed about that as well.
So maybe you have that conversation with Alvin and you kind of tip him off to, Alvin, this is where this guy is going to go. Let him say what he's going to say. Did you have that conversation with the guy to the side of you?
Yes.
Really? What do you have to say for yourself, Alvin? Come on, why don't you two switch spots for a minute? There's Alvin. Alvin's on camera, on microphone.
Hey, Jim.
Hello, Alvin. So what do you have to say for yourself?
So I did know the punchline. I knew what was coming, but mechanically, the caller failed. I could replay it if you want.
Explain to me how the caller failed mechanically. What does that even mean?
So he just left balls hanging for way too long. That's all it was. Can I replay it?
Oh, no, you've done enough. You've done quite enough, Alvin.
He said balls.
You know, I got
one,
it,
1,000, 2, 1,000, 3, and then I had to hit him.
Good job, Alvin. Thank you for doing your job. And as far as Ray in Deer City says, actually, Jim, it's Lee. And then you hammered him, and I said, I think I know the reason for that is, quote, don't correct the host. It's okay to correct the host. I'm wrong sometimes. I know you have my back, Alvin. But if I get a guy's name wrong, he's more than in the right to correct me. Like if somebody were to say to you, Alvin, if you showed up the DMV and somebody said, hey, Albert DeLauro, would you not say anything? Or would you say, actually, my name's Alvin? Quote, Alvin said, radio time is very precious. So no, we're not going to have that correction. And you, Hawk, You were so distraught. What was that guy going to say that was so important that he did not get to say that made you so unhappy?
Lee in Deer City, he was going to threaten
Ray, according to you, but yeah.
Ray, Lee, doesn't matter. I was all about the content. He was going to threaten to drive across Michigan and kick Jeff and Southfield's ass, which I was all about. Little threatened violence. Never hurt anybody.
Like meet you in Temecula?
Like meet you in Temecula. Like meet you in Southfield. So I really wanted Ray to threaten Jeff because that would probably incite Jeff to call back. And then we get a new thread going and I'm all about that.
Well, if you really wanted that, then you should have got that guy's name right. Or Alvin would not have run him before he could say what you wanted him to say because you weren't listening and got his name wrong.
A lot of times these callers will call on connections that aren't the best. And I heard Lee instead of Ray. I apologize to...
In other words, you're not accountable, are you, Jim Crane?
Yes, it was my fault. But do we have to kill the guy for me getting it wrong? I'm the only guy that knows that phone call now.
Kill what guy?
Kill...
Drop the hammer on
yes,
the guy?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yes, apparently there's a precedent set. Alvin will run a guy if they correct me for getting their name wrong. So get his name right. You know this. He's got seniority and tenure over you, Hawk. Alvin will always be right, and you will always be wrong. Even if you're right, you're wrong.
And I vehemently disagree on how quickly he ran the other guy with the funny Reese McGuire joke, too.
The two of you guys give each other the hands outside, and we'll see who comes back standing, and then we'll just go from there. That was really a bad segment. Oh, that was a bad 10 minutes of jungle time. I'm sorry it happened. I'm sorry for everything. Bob Myers. I'm sure Bob Myers is very happy that we're running late now because of that. Y'all get your acts together, man. Ritz just sitting back there laughing like, man, good. I'm glad it's them. The only person enjoying that more probably is the big head, wherever the hell he is. He comes in once a week, and he's probably just having a good old time with it. All right. What do you say we hit the reset button, and we'll come back. We'll do one last segment with Bob Myers. Don't go anywhere. First up, sports. Welcome back quickly. This email says, Rome, this has been the best show of 2020 by far. Signed, Jack and La Habra, currently working in Orange. If by best you mean most regrettable, then I would agree it's been the best show of the year. What a wild day. Thankfully, somebody to bring some sanity to the proceedings. We are joined right now by the Golden State Warriors, president of basketball operations and general manager. He is a two-time NBA executive of the year. Led Golden State to 3 NBA titles, 5 straight conference titles, helped build a team that has produced the best 6-year run in the history of the NBA record-wise, an inductee into the Monta Vista High School Athletic Hall of Fame. Golden State is at home against Houston next Thursday at 7:30 p.m. Pacific. Bob Myers is my guest. Bob, it is so good to have you back. How are you, Bob?
Good, man. How are you?
Bob, I'm great. In fact, let me rephrase the question. Before we get to the season and the recent moves, I know you had hip surgery recently. How is the hip, and how is life in general?
Life's fine, man. It's good. You know, you can answer that a lot of different ways, but overall, good. And the hip's okay. It's just been a long road. I won't bore the listeners, but take care of yourselves. People that are listening, listen to your body. I'm paying for past debt. I'm paying off old debts because I pounded it out for a while. I played basketball, and then I just kept playing when I was on, like, the rec circuit. So I played for a lot of years. Then at about 42, my body told me that it was time to pay the price. So, but I'm doing all right, man. I'm doing well.
No, I appreciate that. I think I know where you're going with that answer too, Bob. But the point about listening to your body, I think, is key for sure. All right, so we reached the All-Star break, and like most parts of the season so far, it seems like it's got a different feel for the team this year. We touched on this a little bit earlier in the season, but you knew this was going to be a different season. What's this season been like for you personally?
Kind of eye-opening in that I probably learned more this year. Not it's maybe hard for people to understand that, but when you lose, like we're losing, or I guess lose anything, I think it forces you to examine your process, and you have to kind of look a little deeper. I think I maybe said this to you, but when you win, I heard some other athletes say this, when you win at the level we won, you forget to sweep the corners, you know, so we're sweeping the corners right now, because it's about how do we get the young play. Everything we're doing organizationally is in response to kind of, okay, we've had a chance to kind of look in the mirror here, and winning covers up a lot, man. In anything, success, winning, it covers up a lot. And so when you're winning at the degree we won, everything is fine. I mean, I think overall our core and foundation was good then, is good now. But in the state we're in now, you really have to kind of examine it all, open up those closets where you jammed everything into them, and have time to kind of pull it all out and look at it. But it's been good. I mean, Kerr's a great partner in this. Our players, I talked to Steph this morning and Draymond. We're good. I mean, we're good. Our health, our mental health, our core, our culture is good. Just we haven't won many games, man. We haven't won many games.
Bob Myers joining us. You answered my question. I was going to say, what about Steve Kerr and your players and how they responded, but you did answer that. Now, you ultimately traded a number of rotational players, including D'Angelo Russell. You could have waited. You could have traded him later, or you could have just kept him. What was it about that deal with Minnesota that made you feel like this was the right time to make that deal?
Yeah, man. There's never a certain – there's no you could shake your magic eight ball on some of this stuff, but you don't know, right? You make the best decision you can with the information you have. And for us, with D'Angelo, you know, he plays a position where we have Steph Curry. And so it was always going to be somewhat of a challenge for one of those two to adapt. We didn't have much time to see how that would go. But we needed a small forward. You know, and for us, Wiggins has got a lot of talent. We felt like in our system, he could maybe grow as a player. And evolve into more than he's been. A guy that talented, you'd like to bet on. We did. I mean, heard good things about his character. The idea of the timing, you don't know. You never will know. But for us, him getting Andrew, the combination of the pick, getting out of the tax, in totality made sense for us at the time. So that was the thinking behind the gym. But I'm not so arrogant to think that there's only one way to do things. But this was the decision we thought was the best, and it does give us some time. I mean, Steve said repeatedly, our coach, that having these 30 games with Andrew gives us a head start into next season. And we're going to have so much. I mean, people think when Steph and Clay come back, it's all going to be back like it was. There's a lot of work to do. I mean, we have a tremendous amount of work. Those guys have to find their rhythm again after being out for so long. We have to integrate a lot of new players. Obviously, the West is not getting any easier. We moved into a new building this year, so it's a lot of change. And so having Andrew for this runway that we have at the end of this year, I think will help us kind of adapt as we move forward.
It seems to me, Bob, he's still just 24, and you look at anybody at 24 and where they might be a few years after that, they're going to grow, they're going to evolve. You get a chance to put them in your system and your culture. I think that really bears watching. I think this will be really interesting. You know, I spoke to Coach K earlier in the program today. We talked about Kobe, and there's this story from back in the day when you went to meet with Arne Tellem, and Kobe was a client, and he was there. Can you share that? How old was Kobe at that time, and what do you remember, Bob, about that conversation with him?
The guy was just, you know, he was a presence. You know, I walked in, I remember, you know, there's certain things you remember in your life. I walked in. I remember what chair he was sitting in because I was brand new. I was finishing. I'd finished at UCLA, and I was trying to figure out what to do with my life. And I had a chance to meet with Arne. Didn't really want to be an agent, but was kind of like, let's see what this looks like. And he's sitting there, and he had a Joe Montana retro jersey on. Remember the era where everybody was wearing those the retro jerseys?
I do.
You know, that was the heyday of that deal. It was early 2000s, I think, or late 90s. And he had this kind of irrational confidence that upon meeting him for the first time, you kind of shake your head and laugh because he told me he's going to win 10 championships and go move over to Italy. And he spoke Italian and he had raised there a lot. And I kind of laughed and sure, you know, good luck. But he'd kind of challenge you on that. He'd say, what do you mean? You don't think I can do that? And you'd say, no, I'm sure you. He said, I'm going to do it. So he was constantly seeking out competition. Reminds me a little bit of Draymond, where these guys, they have to be seeking out, even in a conversation. I mean, and so the better stories are when he was at that time sponsored by Adidas, and he was doing a commercial shoot, and he said, do you want to be an extra in my commercial playing basketball? And I said, I had no money. I was young. And I said, yeah, I'll do it. We were in L.A., and so I was studying today, actually a better story. We were playing horse, because there's two stories, but I'll give you the better one.
Sure.
He said, you want to play horse? And I said, fine, I'll play horse. And I mean, you've been around a lot of famous people, so to speak. You've interviewed them. You probably know a lot of them. And I'm not a special, but once you're around people that are listening, they're just people, right? Let me just start there. He was an unbelievable person as far as his magnitude and his presence. And I would say this about a lot of so-called famous people, but they're people, right? Which doesn't make them bad or good. They're just people. So he says, you want to play horse? I said, yeah, I'll play horse with you. So I was actually winning the game H-O-R-S-E. So he had H-O-R-S, and I had like H-O. And if you've been on a commercial shoot, you know how much money they spend every second with the crew.
Right.
So they'd set up this crane where he was going to be dunking and like standing in this little kind of crane, and they had to do a still shot or a still video of him in the air, you know, kind of with his face. They'd zoom in on his face, and he was dunking. So they had it all set up, and they said, Kobe, we're ready for you. And I said, I looked at Kobe, and I said, hey, man, you got to go. I won this game. Like, go ahead. It's over. Like, I had a chart. And he looks down at the director. He says, I'm not coming yet. I got to finish this game. And I said, and so it got a little awkward because the director's like, hey, everybody's waiting for him on the set. And he says, I'm not coming until I finish this horse game.
You know it.
So then the director kind of called. He's like, can you wrap it up? And I said, I can stop right now. I don't need to play this game. You know, you can take him. But then Kobe yelled, you know, he's a pretty demanding guy. He goes, we're finishing this game. I said, all right. So, of course, you know, I lose. Of course, I'm not going to beat the guy. He comes back and beats me. But I got to tell you, like, I knew him when he was younger. So there was a time when he was young, like 19, 20, 21, where I took him around UCLA a little bit because he was very, and people think these NBA players and athletes at 19, 20, it's hard for people to relate to them. They don't have 50 friends. They're not at a big company where they're all going to drink beers on Friday night and then Monday they go back to work. That's not their life. So took him around UCLA because he didn't go to college too. I mean, people, that's a big experience he missed. I said, all right, I'll take you around. And then he became, you know, obviously comfortable and established in LA. And then I kind of reconnected with him later in life, and he softened. The truth is, I don't know how well you knew him, Jim, but I liked who he was. It's not that I didn't, but when he's as competitive as he is or was in his playing days, I mean, this guy was—he was just a mercenary. He had to win, and he did win. And then at the end of his career, you saw him kind of becoming an ambassador, and obviously the things. I have three daughters; he's got four. I talked to him about daughters. And what he was doing with his daughters, I was probably more impressed, as impressive as he was as a basketball player, which is one of the best ever to play, watching him further women's sports, watching him be a dad, watching him look to me, be at peace, that was the hardest thing for me to process as I heard the news. It was almost like he had just hit his stride in life. Like he... You know, because when you're competing at the level he was, that you have to carry that angst with you, and I feel like he was letting go of that. I don't know what Coach K said about him or whatever, but there's so many accolades. The guy, I mean, the best way to say it is there'll never be another person like him.
I think that's accurate, Bob. I do. I actually knew him pretty well, maybe not as well as you did, but I found him to be the same way. I thought he was so engaging and so interesting. Bob, it's a really unusual segment in the sense that we got in a little bit late, and our conversation with Kobe went deep, and I'm so glad we had that time. But I'm out of time, so maybe you and I could pick this up again soon. And I really appreciate that, Bob. And you know, I always appreciate our time together. Bob Myers, wherever work gets done, Grainger is there with the industrial supplies, safety products, and time-saving services you need to keep your business running smoothly. Grainger.com. Thanks for listening. We'll see you all tomorrow.